Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation today is with Nina Rose Hatfield, Acting Director, Bureau of Land Management of the U.S. Department of Interior. Welcome, Nina.
Well, thank you very much, Paul. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's start out by finding a little bit more about the Bureau of Land Management. Can you describe the activities for our listeners?
Surely. Well, the Bureau of Land Management manages about 265 million acres of the public land owned by the taxpayers, and we hold it in stewardship for the taxpayers, primarily located in the West. And in addition to that, we also take care of doing the mineral leasing for other federal agencies, and that would entail about another 700 million acres across the country. The Bureau has what we call a multiple-use mission, and as a result of that, we deal with a lot of varied activities on the federal lands, varying from recreation to world-class energy sources to world-class kinds of conservation areas. We provide a lot of support for local communities in the context of open spaces and providing things like rights-of-way where they need communication to a local area. We also have a wild horse and burro program that's very active, and we are working very hard in terms of trying to provide habitat for a threatened and endangered species, since we do have the landmass that would allow for that kind of habitat conservation. But overall, as you look at the population of the West having increased so much over the last few years, the BLM lands are becoming more and more valued because of the importance of the local open spaces and habitat for threatened and endangered species and all the other activities that go on around those communities.
How many employees are there at BLM, and what type of skills do they have? You described so many diverse things, I couldn't quite imagine a typical one.
Well, actually, BLM is sort of like a mini Department of the Interior because our so many different kinds of activities do go on in the public lands. And we have about 9,000 employees. That swells in the summer as we hire temporaries, particularly for fire. And so we do have a diversity of skills ranging from natural resource kinds of specialties to recreationists, planners, people who are familiar with horses, just all kinds of activities, primarily, though, I'd say around the natural resources, natural science kinds of backgrounds.
Well, take a minute and tell us about your career. What drew you to public service?
Well, as I reflect on what's happened to me over the last few years in terms of public service, I think probably a primary draw comes right out of my childhood. I was raised in eastern Kentucky, and I recognized as a very young child that I'd read about clean water and clean air, but the streams in eastern Kentucky, especially at that point in time, were really pretty dirty from coal silt. So I was very interested in the kind of public good that can come from looking at how that you can help people accomplish in communities things like clean air, clean water. And so as I went through school, you know, I looked at and worked hard in those kinds of areas. I came to state government. I was with the Attorney General's office. I'm a lawyer by profession. And have migrated then through to the Department of the Interior and worked with the Office of Surface Mining and now the Bureau of Land Management. But I think the threads through all of that is the fact that I have seen public service as the kind of thing that you can do where you can help a lot of people at once. And it was much more interesting to me than, for instance, doing private law practice where I saw that you were dealing with one or two people, maybe a corporation. With the public service, you can really impact a lot of people.
What positions best prepared you to be leader of such a large organization?
I think it's really sort of the variety of experiences that I've had. I've had jobs in which I worked with legislatures, and so I have some concept of how the law is made and kind of how the personalities impact on how a law is made. I've also worked in different types of programs at different areas. I've been a state director, I've been in a regional office, I've been in a national office, and so I have a working relationship in terms of how those kinds of pieces fit together in an organizational fabric, in terms of the culture of the organization, how it works. And I think just having a diversity of programs. I've worked in different organizations, and I really believe that that actually has some benefits over having been homegrown in an organization, so that you really only have one concept of how that a problem can be solved. And I bring to my job some different orientations, and so I think I can draw on those different skills and different orientations to look at a particular problem and how we might approach it.
Which positions gave you the biggest challenges, and what were they?
Well, I think it's the ones that involve sort of startups, if you will. When I was with the Attorney General's office in Ohio, I dealt with a program that was – actually, I created it. And so I learned something about, getting people to do the work that you needed to do and trying to set the goals, those kinds of things. And the same thing when I was with the Office of Surface Mining. I was there at the very inception of a major program, and so, you know, I could see – how that you had to bring personnel activities, all those kind of infrastructure things into actually achieving your program goals. And at BLM, you know, I've certainly been involved in trying to shift the organization's focus from the way it had been doing business to a more modern approach to doing business, one that is very consistent with the Government Performance and Results Act. And so I think it's that those experiences that I've had in starting up programs that have really helped me now in terms of trying to move the organization into the future.
Well, you mentioned the changes that are taking place at BLM. How's the organizational culture changed since you've been there?
Well, I think it's more than just since I've been there. I look at it more historically than that. In the late 50s and early 60s, certainly, the Bureau was sometimes characterized as being the Bureau of Livestock and Mining, because those tended to be the dominant program areas that the Bureau dealt with. And, in fact, the emblem of the Bureau had about four or five males carrying it like a pickaxe and a shovel and some surveying equipment, because we'd come out of the surveying organization. And many of our employees had spent their entire career with BLM, often in the same place. And BLM was very much in the arena of trying to dispose of the public lands. But with our Organic Act, the Federal Land Management Policy Act, all of that sort of changed. And I think that's as a result of that, we've grown into a much more multi-focused organization. Again, multiple use with all the kinds of uses ranging from recreation, still to doing energy and mineral development, still doing grazing on the public lands. But certainly the Organic Act recognized the value of the public lands, and we moved from a program of disposing public lands to trying to look at how we would manage the public lands to create the kinds of things that we're now trying to work on. And so we still have all of the energy programs, grazing programs, the traditional uses, but we're more varied now in terms of adding to that portfolio, our recreation program, our conservation programs. I think a lot more cultural diversity in terms of what our employees are doing. And certainly internally, we expect a variety of work experience at various levels, some headquarters experience, and we value the fact that some of our employees now are coming from other agencies and other experiences. So I think all of those are leading to sort of a change in terms of our culture and the way that our people approach problem solving within the Bureau.
I'm talking with Nina Rose Hatfield. This is the Business of Government Hour. We'll rejoin our conversation in just a few minutes.